Tonight, my message is called Preparing for the Coming Storm, which is like super intense. And I tried to like change it and soften it a bunch of times, and it was just not. Because the truth is that personally, if you are not currently in a storm, one is coming. And that's not a prophetic declaration. That is just truth in the way it is. If you're either in a storm right now, or a storm is coming, or if you're lucky, it's both. You're both in a storm and one is coming. It is what it is, right? And that's true for us personally. That's true for us corporately. Is that storms are coming, okay? So we're going to sit in two passages of scripture, both in Matthew. So I'm just going to ask you to turn to Matthew 7 right now. And I'm good, babe, thanks. So we're going to go to Matthew chapter 7, verse 24.
You're totally fine.
All right, so Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them will be like a sensible man who built his house on the rock. The rain fell, the rivers rose, and the winds blew and pounded that house, yet it didn't collapse because its foundation was on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and doesn't act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell, the rivers rose, the winds blew and pounded that house, and it collapsed. And its collapse was great. And so the first thing that I notice in this scripture is that it's not a hypothetical. Like, the sensible man built his house on the rock, so if the rain comes, if the water rises, if the wind blows, then he'll be safe. And the foolish man built his house on the sand, so if the wind blows, and if the water rises, and if whatever else happens, his house is going to collapse. No, it's stating a fact. You built a house, and then junk's going to happen. And the... He's listening. He's right there with me. And so a storm is going to come. And so then the choice you made before the storm comes affects how you make it through the storm. Okay? It's not an if the storm happens, are you going to be ready? It's a when the storm happens, what's going to happen next? Okay? And then the other passage, because I'm just going to read them both right up front, is Matthew 25. And I'm going to start right there in verse 1. Then the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the groom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were sensible. When the foolish took their lamps, they didn't take oil with them. But the sensible ones, or the wise ones, took oil in their flasks with their lamps. Since the groom was delayed, they all became drowsy and fell asleep. In the middle of the night, there was a shout. Here's the groom, come out to meet him. Then all those virgins got up and trimmed their lamps. But the foolish ones said to the sensible ones, give us some of your oil, because our lamps are going out. The sensible ones answered, no, there won't be enough for us and for you. Go instead to those who sell and buy oil for yourselves. When they had gone to buy some, the groom arrived. Then those who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the rest of the virgins also came and said, Master, Master, open up for us. But he replied, I assure you, I do not know you. Therefore, be alert, because you don't know either the day or the hour. So both these passages of scripture are set in the ultimate context, the end of the age, the day of the Lord coming, and where will you be in the context of the great and terrible day of the Lord? Okay? And I'm always happy to discuss end time stuff and theology and all that, but we're going to bring it back because the truth is that on the preparation to that ultimate storm that is coming, there are a whole bunch of smaller ones that come. And sometimes as Christians, we like to think of that end times moment as something that, of course, we're going to be ready for. Like the Antichrist and the mark of the beast. And of course, I won't be part of the great falling away. And we look at it as this hypothetical moment way, way, way in the future. And if we're not careful, we can set it so far in the future that we never think that this moment right now that we're living in contributes to what happens then. Okay? And so the truth is that every moment between now and that whatever day moment is preparation. And so if we believe that to be true, then that means that every moment between now and our next storm, not end of the age storm, but just our next personal storm, is also preparation, right? You with me? You feel what I'm putting down? Okay. So that's all right. I always appreciate a talk back. Okay. So because this is the thing. We just read about the houses, okay? You don't build your house in the storm. You have to have it before that moment, right? Like, if it is winter and it's a blizzard in Rochester, I need to have already secured my lodging place. I need to have already secured heat, okay? Because, you know, you don't call RG&E and they come out the next hour to fix your, you know, like when you're setting up a new house, you know, we bought a house last year. You make an appointment. They come like, okay, we'll be there tomorrow or the next day. So in the middle of the storm is not the moment where I go, oh, I need a roof. Oh, heat would be a good thing, right? You have to prepare not knowing the day or the hour when the trouble is coming. It's the crisis that separates who's prepared from who's not prepared. Okay? The crisis is what separates it. Because up until that moment comes, it's easy for someone looking outside to think that the other person is ready. Okay? I am not a builder. I am not a house builder. So chances are, if I'm looking at a house, I am not going to be able to clearly tell whether the foundation is good or not. That is not in my wheelhouse at all. Okay? So I'm just going to look at it and be like, yeah, you good. I watched like five seasons of Fixer Upper. That looks strong. That looks good, right? But my opinion matters for nothing because I don't actually have the wisdom to make that decision. Okay? And so then when the earthquake comes and your house goes down, it's like, ooh, maybe we should have done some actual research about that. Right? Okay? So from the outside, someone who's on the rock and someone who's on the sand, they might both look ready. But when the storm comes, it's real clear who was ready and who was not. Okay? We like to think of crossroads as these like massive moments. Okay, we hear it all the time. You're at the crossroads and you're like, okay, but I'll be 37 this year. And when I look at my life, I realize my crossroads were a bunch of little moments. There are a handful of major moments, but for the most part, my crossroads are my everyday decisions. And then when I get to that big moment, it's really not such a big moment because I've been building the base for it the whole time. My small yeses every day make that big yes so much easier. Okay? And so we come to this parable of the 10 virgins. They're all like starting off in the same place. Okay? In Colossians, it talks about that we've been presented to God as chaste virgins. So this is us, okay? These are people who know the Lord, who love the Lord. They all start off the same. same state. They all have the same thing. They all have a lamp, right? So right off the bat, everyone's like, oh, okay. They all look the same. But there's others, five of them, have a store in their hands. They prepare a little something extra, right? And so then the time is delayed. It goes longer and longer and longer, right? And they all relax and they all kind of lay back and they all slumber. And then when the moment comes and now everyone's scrambling to get ready, they have what they need. And so you have the foolish ones who go, hey, give me some of that. And the wise ones are like, no, there won't be enough for us and you. And sometimes us as Christians, we can be like, why didn't they just share? I mean, God was, he multiplied the loaves and the fish. You know, there's the whole story of Hanukkah. The oil just kept going. Why couldn't they just pour it out? And the truth is that there are some things that cannot be shared and some things that are not meant to be shared. My life experiences and what I built up in my history with the Lord is not transferable. The best I can do with it is encourage you on your path, but I can't give you what I got. Right? I can't give you what I got. My yes before the Lord does not give my children a yes. Right? They have to make their own decisions. So my yes doesn't mean you automatically have a yes. Even if I pray for you, even if I try to impart, right? I can strengthen your heart, but I can't give you my yes, and I can't give you what I earned before the Lord. And the fact comes is that there is a time when something shakes in your life, and if you haven't prepped for it, you can't get it from anybody else at that moment. Now, that's not a discouraging thing. I've been through storms unprepared, and the Lord pours out grace. But I recognize, ooh, God, I didn't prepare for this. Help me, right? I'm really sweaty. It is really hot up here. Yes, please. and so it's not a condemnation if you're in a place that you're not prepared for. Thank you. But what needs to happen is a recognition that the choices you make today affect your tomorrow. Okay? The choices you make today affect your tomorrow. So if you weren't prepared for your today, you can still change your tomorrow. Right? Okay? Oh, air. Okay, so you can still change where you're going. But what you can't do is just sit and expect that the oil in our lamp just magically appears. They had to go and buy it from where you get it from. They couldn't sit there and be like, hey, I need some oil. And someone just comes in. What is that? Is it State Farm? The insurance company where they're like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. And then the insurance agent is like, poof. Is that State Farm? Okay. And so they just appear and it just, like magic, it's just right there, right? No, you have to go and buy it. You have to make the choice. And the oil in our lamps is the intimacy with the Holy Spirit. That's not something you get in a moment, okay? Rod and I have been married for almost 15 years. And so we laugh because we were like, oh man, when we first got married, we thought we were so in love. Like, what was that? You know, because it's changed as the years have gone on. And by the grace of God, 15 years from now, we'll be like, what was that 15 years ago? Like, it's so much richer now, right? And so it keeps changing and it keeps morphing, but it's not because the time just passed. It's work. Right, Ron is fond of saying, let's see if I can get this right, that physical growth is a function of time. Okay? If time passes, you're going to grow. Right? Van is going to be 4 in a couple weeks. And in the last like month, I'm like, he's gotten so tall. He's getting so big, you know, just as time passes, he's growing. Okay. And that intellectual growth or mental growth is a function of learning. Okay. You open up the books, you go to the class, your brain gets stronger, your brain grows. Okay. Time does not make you smarter. Learning makes you smarter. Okay. You don't just get to sit for 6 years and then be like, okay, now I'm a doctor. Like you had to put some work into that, right? You don't just get to sit back and just go, just like all the learning in the world isn't going to make you grow 3 inches. It doesn't happen. Okay. And so spiritual growth is a function of obedience. Okay. So physical growth, time passes, you grow. If it's in the opportune moment, there comes a moment when that no longer helps you. Okay. Then you shrink. Okay. And so mental growth is a function of learning, but spiritual growth is a function of obedience. It actually doesn't matter how long you've been walking with the Lord if you're not obeying him. Okay. It doesn't matter. I've met people who are like, oh, I've been saved for like 30 years. And I'm like, word? Really? Huh. Praise God, you know, because there's things in their life that I'm like, wow, you have not been listening for a lot of that time, you know, and so you're not very mature because you're not doing nothing, right? And that's, and then, I meet people who get saved and they accelerate super fast into maturity and into the things of the Lord because they're obeying and they're putting into practice. They heard something and they're like, let me change my life. Let me fix it. Let me, right? And so it seems like they're on a fast track because they've decided to be wholehearted. Okay. Intimacy doesn't come just from time. If I don't do anything, if I don't listen to the Lord, if I don't obey what he says, right there in Matthew 7, it's like anyone who hears these words of mine, and it's this is the end of the Sermon on the Mount, so it's a whole bunch of stuff, really clear-cut stuff. If anyone hears these words of mine and does them, he's like the one who built his house on the rock. If anyone hears these words of mine and does not do them, he's like the one on the sand. And so it transfers directly into these virgins with the oil. If you hear these words and you do them, you're building a storehouse of oil. If you hear these words and don't do them, when your lamp burns out, it's done. You're now in darkness. And so it is key to look at your life and to go, particularly if you're hitting storms and you feel like you're not prepared, right? To look at your life and go, am I actively building intimacy with the Lord? Am I actively building a storehouse for myself? Am I actively preparing? It's like when they say that there's a blizzard coming and you go to Wegmans and there's no milk and there's no bread, right? And you're like, did people use up all the milk and all the bread from the last one? Because they're getting a lot, right? But they're preparing ahead of time. And so the question is, am I actively preparing? Building intimacy is its own reward. Okay, like if I never hit another storm in my life, the depth that I grow with the Lord is its own reward. It's its own reward. Nothing that I spend in time with Jesus is wasted, ever. But statistically, I'm going to go through another storm. Statistically, I'm going to go through another storm. And I never have any idea what it's going to be like. A lot of you have heard this story before. When I was pregnant with Zoe, my oldest, it was a completely normal pregnancy until the moment I went into labor. And then it was a mess, right? Like, it's my first baby. They're like, call when you get to a certain point in the contractions. They stop. So I'm like, well, let me call and just make sure. They're like, it's your first baby? Okay, well, you know, come in. We're probably going to send you home. Be prepared to go home. But, you know, come in and we'll just check. We'll see what's going on. And I get there and they're like, oh, you're not going home. Your blood pressure's through the roof. I'm like, how high is it? They're like, high. They have the monitor turned so I can't see it, right? Ron's walking out and coming in, and he says every time he walks out and comes in, I have another tube sticking out of me, right? My intention was to have this totally natural birth. I had, like, the ocean waves crashing in the background. Like, we had the whole thing going. And then Zoe's heart stopped when we were in labor. Zoe's heart stopped, and they rushed me into the operating suite and knocked me unconscious and got her out, right? Like, got her out. And I have a journal from right before she was born. Zoe was born on July 4th. And I have a journal entry from July 2nd. That we already knew she was going to be a girl. We had already named her Zoe Elise. And so I had written a journal entry that said, God, her name is Zoe Elise. It means life consecrated to you. And whatever happens or doesn't happen in the next days, her life is yours and my life is yours. Totally normal pregnancy. No reason to think anything was going to go weird. But the choices I had made through that whole pregnancy had culminated in the moment that 2 days before chaos was going to happen, that I was totally resting in the Lord, that with no knowledge of what the next hours were going to bring, I said, Lord, she's yours, and I'm yours. And whatever this looks like when we get to the other side, we're yours, and I trust you because you are good. In the middle of giving birth was not the moment for me to try to come into that realization with the Lord. Right? Like, Zoe's heart stopped at 8:58, right? 8:59. They thought her heart had stopped. Her, like, birth thing is 9:02, right? Like, that's really fast to wheel you from where they think you're giving birth all the way to the OR to get me knocked unconscious, to get her me opened up, to get the baby out, right? Like, they were cranking, okay? And I was knocked out very quickly in the middle of that. So that wouldn't have been the moment for me to be like, Lord, Lord, Lord. You know, like that wouldn't have been the moment. But because of the work I had done, not even knowing that this was coming, just the work I had done loving the Lord and loving the season of life that I was in, being pregnant, and partnering with God in this act of creation meant that when all this stuff happened, I was at peace. Like, I remember them wheeling me through the doors into the thing and them going, you can't come back to Ron. And him going, what? And them going, stay here, because they have no time to pastor his heart or, like, love on him. They're like, we gotta. So they're like, stay. And I'm like, I love you, right? Like, as I'm being wheeled in, and I'm at peace. You know, there, it's like, it feels like it's out of one of those medical dramas. They're like throwing off their sweaters and shouting and blah, blah, blahing. And I'm just like, Lord, it's you. It's always you. All this swirl doesn't matter because it's you, right? That's a house on the rock. But you don't get that right in the middle. You don't get that in the middle of it. And once again, it's not a condemnation if you're in a storm and feel overwhelmed. God is merciful. God is good. Peter was sinking, right? He took his eyes off of Jesus and he was sinking underneath the waves. Like, that's the definition of not on the rock right then. Like, he's, and he's, right? Like, he's drowning, and Jesus just lifts him up. So if you're in a storm and you are overwhelmed, God is gracious and merciful and can pull you out and lift you up in a moment. But after he does that, let's build, right? After he does that, let's build. It's like when someone goes through a crazy financial crisis and God supernaturally delivers with an infusion of money at just the right moment and it's like set. And then like 6 months later, it happens again. And you're like, hey, did you save anything between now and then? Like, that happened. Why didn't you plan for the next time? You know, and then 6 months later, like maybe something else happens. You're like, hey, can we talk about Dave Ramsey's baby steps? Do you have an emergency fund going on yet? You know, because there comes a point when storm hits, storm hits, storm hits, storm hits. And I'm sure you've all seen this with like a friend or a family member. And you're like, can we build some infrastructure for next time, please? Can we build some infrastructure for next time? Right? And sometimes, okay, sometimes there's not a moment. But for a lot of us, that's not true, right? So if you're in a storm in the moment, we are going to pray for God to whoosh you out. But then we want to build for the next time. You want to have oil in your lamp. In 2 Peter, you can flip or not flip as you desire. I just can't quote it off the top of my head, so I'm actually going there. If I can find it. 2 Peter, chapter 1, verse 5. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with goodness, goodness with knowledge, knowledge with self-control, self-control with endurance, endurance with godliness, godliness with brotherly affection, brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they will keep you from being useless or unfruitful. Some versions say barren. Okay, in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. He says right there, like, hey, you've got this thing. Now let's add to it. Now let's add to it. Now let's add to it. The verse, the concept of adding or supplementing there is this word in the Greek that is about like a dance chorus. And so the implication is that like in a dance, when you're dancing and then you link hands and then another person links on. You know, not like a cha-cha, but like the circle dances where you're linking, 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 that it's like, hey, to your faith, link goodness or virtue or excellence, depending on your version. Okay, and to that, link knowledge. And to that, link self-control. And to that, okay? So he's like, hey, build a chain. Like when you build your paper chains and you're like, click, 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 and you keep linking on, right? That's how you build a storehouse. That's how you build oil. Wherever you are right now, no shame, no condemnation. But you look at it and you go, where do I need to build? What do I need to add on? Right? Where do I need to build? Or in some cases, like Alan said, what do I need to lay down? Okay? Because sometimes we can't even build because we're carrying too much junk. We can't add anything else because it's like, you got all this. It's like when you ask somebody, like they say they have some goal. Like let's say they want to start working out regularly. And you're like, okay, when are you going to put that in your schedule? And they're like, well, I've got this, and I've got this, and I've got this, and I've got this, and I've got this other thing. And then I've got to sleep, and then I've got this, 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 this. And you're like, okay, is this a priority or not? Because if it's not, okay. But if it is, you're going to have to cut some stuff out. And I feel like that's sometimes what the Lord is looking at us going like, hey, your soul is cluttered up with a bunch. So if you want to add this other stuff, you got to make some space for it. You got to make some, like, where are you going to make the space? Okay? Because at the core of it in Matthew 7, he says, if you hear my words and obey them, you're on solid ground. You're on solid ground. And it's a step-by-step thing. I know sometimes I look at my life and I go, Lord, what have you told me that I have not obeyed yet? And God is always faithful to, like, bust out the list for me of what he's clearly said and I've just kind of blown off, right? And so sometimes that's where we start. We're like, what have you already made clear, God? What have you already made clear and I've just chosen not to do? There's so many times in my life where I've gone, oh, that was the Lord. Like, he told me to do something and I didn't do it. And then all of a sudden I'm like, oh, I wish I had listened. The most recent example is a small one. Ron and I went to New York City. He was officiating the wedding for a dear friend of ours. We were driving. We were originally driving down with some friends of ours, but they had decided to do a different thing. So we were driving on our own. The kids were not coming with us. And as we were packing to leave, it was going to be a quick trip. We were leaving super early on Saturday morning to get there for the wedding rehearsal. She was getting married on Sunday, and then we were going to drive home on Monday. Before we left, I went, maybe I should bring my printer with me. Super random. Super random. I have a tendency to overpack. Okay? Like, that is, I get like, maybe I'll need this, and maybe I'll need this, and maybe I'll need this, and then I don't need a lot of it. So in the days before Kindles and everything, I used to bring so many books with me because I'm a fast reader. And then I'd be like, well, what if I'm not in the mood for that? Or what if I finish all of these? And so I would have like 15 books packed for some short trip, right? And so the Kindle on my phone has alleviated a lot of that because I can always get another book if I need to. So it's the night before. We're planning to leave at like 4 or 5 a.m. And I go, maybe I should bring my printer. And I'm like, Valerie, you don't need a printer. Like, you have no responsibilities for this wedding. You are a guest. Your husband is doing the wedding. He says he's already set. Don't overpack. Just enjoy yourself. Right? I'm like, no, I'm not going to bring a different pair of shoes. Like, I grew up with a mom, a military mom, so I'm fully practicing the art of rolling my clothes super, super tight. Like, you wear one pair, you pack a pair, right? So I have pared my wardrobe down. I'm feeling so good. I'm like, I've got an outfit for this day, for this day, for this day. I'm wearing my, like, flat Keds, and then I've got my fancy heels for the wedding day. I'm good. We get there, and the bride is very overwhelmed. So we're starting the wedding rehearsal, and she's overwhelmed. And Ron's like, hey, like, is someone queuing the wedding for you tomorrow? Because she's like a bride who's been doing it herself, getting the decorations. Her and her matron of honor have been doing everything. And he's like, so, like, who's running stuff tomorrow? And she like busts out into tears, like, I don't know, you know. And Ron's like, Valerie is excellent at that. Right? And like ushers me forward. He's like, you wouldn't mind doing that for you, would you, Valerie? And I'm like, no, I've got it, right? No problem. So I do the notes, and then I get home and I'm like, why don't I have my printer? Right? We're in New York City, we're in Queens. Like, I'm not trying to like print or try to find a printer in Queens, but I've got like a run sheet to make. I've got all this stuff to do. And I'm like, oh, that legit was the Lord. You know, I thought that was like my hoarding, packing tendencies, but that was the Lord. Like that little thought that maybe I should have brought the wedges instead of the spike heels was the Lord. Like, So, you know, I did a wedding with like canvas sneakers on and a dress and everything so I could run. And we did it. But that's a little thing. That's a little thing. There's been way bigger and way more embarrassing situations, which I'm not going to share, where I've been in the middle of it and gone, I should have listened, Jesus. I would have been a lot more prepared for this moment if I had done what you said. Or I'm in a situation where the Lord has been going, hey, you should repent for that thing. You should repent for that thing and get that thing right. You should repent for that thing and get that thing right. And then suddenly my business is like on blast because I didn't take the time to like get it right beforehand. I'm like, oh, I should have listened to Jesus. I could have saved myself so much pain right now. Those moments when the Lord is like poking at you, like, hey, spend this time with me. Hey, go to this place. Hey, do this thing. Will you say yes to me in this small thing? It's all preparation. Those little tiny yeses make huge differences in our life. I heard a story about a woman who was, who worked or was military and was posted, but was in the Pentagon before September 11th. And she tells about how in the weeks leading up to that, the Lord had her on a journey of saying yes to him. She'd be like walking and the Holy Spirit would be like, pick up that piece of trash. She's like, oh, I don't want to pick up this piece of trash. But she'd pick it up, right? Like, hey, go down this street on your way to work. I want to go down this street on the way to work. And most of the time, and it had no... He'd be like, oh, go this way to work. And she'd think, oh, maybe something awesome is going to happen. And I'm going to like heal someone or pull them out of their wheelchair or something. And it wouldn't be anything. She'd be like, okay, why did I have to pick up that piece of garbage? And he's like, because I said so. She's like, all right, whatever. So the weeks before it, he's got her on this journey of yes. So the day happens and she's sitting at her desk and he goes, get up. Go down this hallway, and she's like, here we go again. Adventure trekking with Jesus. You know what I mean? And so he's like, go this way, go this way, go this way, go this way. And then the planes hit, and her office is one of the ones that... And so she realizes on the other side of it, that's what those yeses were for. They were training. So that in the moment, she didn't question. In the moment, she didn't go, why? She had just gotten used to hearing his voice, being sensitive to his voice, and just doing whatever ridiculous thing the Lord wanted her to do now. All right, so I got to get up and walk down this hallway. Okay, here's what we're doing again. Probably the same thing where I have no idea why I'm doing it, but this time she knew. She realized at the end of it why she had done it. And so many times our small yeses, we have no idea what the purpose of them is for. We have no idea what we're doing them for. We have no idea why it matters. And then all of a sudden we're in a crisis and we have this deep well to draw from. This deep well to draw from. We have a friend, Ron and I have been talking about this a lot lately, just from a number of things that have happened. And we have a friend whose husband had a stroke recently. And so they're in the middle of figuring out what things look like now. And so I went to go visit them in the hospital. And she said, you know, I have way more peace than I would have thought. Like, I mean, I'm still emotional. Like, I'm crying and doing stuff. But she's like, but at the core of it, I have peace. And I wouldn't have thought I had peace. I would have peace in this situation. And I was like, it's because of all those choices you've made in the last days, in the last weeks, in the last months, in the last years, that the Lord is good, that he is to be relied on, that he is faithful in the midst of your crisis, that now she's in this massive situation and she goes, I can do this. He's with me. One last thing. We have a young adult Bible study that meets like once a month. And he's not here. I told him I was going to steal this, and he probably thought I was lying, but I'm about to. But I'm telling you that I'm stealing it, so it's all good. We've been going through the spiritual gifts, and so we were talking about the spiritual gift of faith, right? And we were talking about faith, and what he said was that, you know, my faith is the evidence of my hope. I don't need to see the situation change. The situation changing isn't what makes it real. It's my faith. And he goes, it's like an Exodus when the Israelites go through the Red Sea and then they sing. He says they sing the right song on the wrong side. He says they could have sung that before they ever passed through. Because it was true before God delivered them. Them singing that he was their salvation, that he is their strength and their song, that was true on this side. They didn't have to get through the sea before they could sing that song and make it real. They could have sung it when the Egyptians were bearing down on them and they had no idea how to get out. They sang the right song on the wrong side. And that's been just like ringing in my head over this last week. And I think, God, what seas am I waiting to walk through? And I'm waiting until you deliver me before I sing. And can I sing that song on this side? Because do I need to wait for the deliverance before I sing the truth? And the answer is no. I sing that faith declaration. I sing that song. I declare that truth, that he is a deliverer, that he delivers me speedily, that justice is mine, that he is my strength and my song. And I sing it before I even see the manifestation of it. Because whether I see it today or whether I see it tomorrow or whether it waits another year, it's still true. And that's building that oil. Because if I can't declare truth, then I can't walk on truth. I can't build on truth. If I'm not saying it now, then I can't build it. It's like you can't build a house if you don't have the materials. If I don't have the building blocks of truth, then I'm not building that shelter for myself in the midst of the storm. I have to use those building blocks now before I'm even on the other side of it so that I have it to carry me. It's like Noah built the ark not knowing what rain was. Right? Like God goes, hey, this all this stuff is going to happen. And he's like, okay, we're going to do this thing. And then he takes like what, like 100 years to build this thing? 100 years to build this thing? And he doesn't even have a grid for why we're doing it beyond the fact that God said, hey, build this thing. Okay. Like, I mean, God told him trouble was coming. But he had no grid for what that looked like or for what he was preparing for. But he did it and then he had it. And so in our own lives, we need to think about our hearts and about what it takes for our hearts to expand so that we can handle whatever comes. And not to always think that someone else is going to give us what we need to get out of it. Right? Because they can't give us what only the Lord can. He says, come to me and buy gold or refined from the fire. Right? He says, come to me. It's not, go to Junie down the road, go to the pastor. Right? Yes, valid. Encouragement, prayer, support, valid. You all know that. But at the core of it, it's what I do with Jesus. That prepares me. It's what I do with Jesus that prepares me. He says, the anointing is in you. You have no need for a teacher, but the Holy Spirit comes and guides you into all truth. Right? That doesn't mean that you just forsake the fellowship and you're like, I don't need any of y'all. Peace, y'all. Right? That's not what that means. It means that at the core of it, it's you and the Holy Spirit. It's the words you hear and what you act on. It's what you do, what you do, what you do, what you do. Something always grates on me when people are like, I'm just not getting fed there. Like in a group or in a church or something. And I'm like, okay, I hear you. I hear you. But like, what are you doing to get some food from the Lord? Like, what are you doing? You know, like, you want to eat, go to the store, you know, cook it up, get it from Jesus. You prepare because the Lord wants you to be ready. And he gives us what, or the opportunity, he gives us the opportunity to build today what we need for tomorrow. He gives us the opportunity to build today what we need tomorrow. And the storm doesn't mean that you did something wrong. Right? Sometimes we are like, oh, I'm in a storm. People are like, well, that's a sign that something's wrong in your life. And it's like, no, you're in a storm because you're in a storm. It just, sometimes storms just happen. They come because of the world that we live in. There are storms. But how you prepare for them is ultimately how you chose to engage with the Lord. I'm just going to pray. God, you're good. I thank you that you give us the opportunity to build with you, that you are constantly inviting us to sit at your table and to eat, that you are constantly inviting us to walk with you, to talk with you, to live with you, to build with you, to partner with you. I thank you that you love us so much that you have chosen to take us by the hand and to do something awesome. And so, Lord, I pray that you would help us. For those of us just starting on that journey of building oil, of building a house on a good foundation, I pray that you would help us. For those of us who have a well to draw from, I pray that you would help us make it deeper. I thank you, Lord, that your love is so wide and so high and so deep and so long that no matter how far we've journeyed into it, that we are still infinitely far from exhausting it. That no matter how far we've gone, that there is infinitely further to go. And so, Lord, for those of us who have built intimacy with you, Lord, I thank you that you call us to even deeper partnership. That there is no limit to how far we can go with you. And so, Lord, for those of us who are in the midst of a storm, who feel like we're overwhelmed, who feel like we are sinking, Father, I pray that, like you pulled Peter up, that you would pull them up, God. That they would be able to stand triumphantly on top of the waves in the midst of the storm that they are in. Bring them out and bring them up, Lord. And Father, I pray that we would hear your voice clearly. That we would hear your invitation clearly. That we would realize that the choices that we make, that the small questions you ask us have big effects. That those small choices we make to deny ourselves, that those small choices we make to submit to you, to change things, that though in that day and in that moment that yes doesn't seem like anything major, God, I pray that you give us the ability to see the house that we're building together, the well that we're digging together. Help us not to underestimate what our small yeses do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. There is snack. There is yes. Testimony. That's what I like to hear. Testimonies.
Hello, everyone. I'll try to keep this brief as possible. But you actually know about this. Oh, my name is Sarah Cook. And actually, a couple weeks ago, I shared with Valerie about this. So I just felt prompted to share this with everyone. So a couple weeks ago, I went to the doctor. There was just various things just wrong that have never been wrong before. So I'm like, I need to go to the doctor, like for real. And so they said it was some things with my gallbladder, some acid reflux. And then they also noticed that I had low blood pressure. Say that five times fast. And and which I never, again, none of these things ever happened before. And that night, I have felt stirred in my faith. I was watching some Todd White videos. If you don't know Todd White, that will stir your faith. This is really loud, by the way, and I'm a loud talker, so I'm like blown away. And I just felt prompted to just pray. I was just praying in the spirit, and then I just prayed over myself and just started to claim those healings. I mean, again, after watching Todd White, you feel like you could just, I'm walking on water right now. But so one of the things that I felt immediately fixed was the blood pressure. It was like the simplest prayer. I don't even remember what it was. Jesus, bring your healing. And it was just, I was sitting on my bed and it was just like whoosh. And it was just, I could not move for at least 5 or so minutes, something like that. Couldn't move. And I just, like I said, I knew immediately that was fixed. And then I started to speak to my gallbladder. I felt it moving. And I was like, oh, snap. and again, it wasn't even that I prayed anything elaborate. It was that my faith was stirred. And we were talking in the Young Adults Bible Study about the importance of faith and the gift of faith. And now I see why your faith being stirred is so important. Because when you're connected to the revelation of Jesus, really all things are possible, because it's not about what you're saying or whatever. And but so I had to check, and it was right before the picnic, actually. And so Ron, you don't even know that. That's why I went into that Walgreens to check my blood pressure, because and it's normal. So I was like, oh, we lit. But and I had to go to the doctor to check some other things. But as soon as I was praying, I just felt like wind and air, and I didn't realize how much pain and stuff I was in before I prayed that. So I hope that stirs somebody's faith, and I try to be faithful with, you know, the testimonies and stuff that God's given me. So I just, yeah. And also, healing team, me, Tina, and Kathy Love, that's all right. And we're over here sometimes in the front. That's a quick advertisement for the healing ministry. Anyway.
Amen. Lord, I thank you for healing Sarah. I thank you for the testimony that that simple words have great power. Amen. Amen. And so if you do need healing prayer, come to the front and someone will be happy to pray for you. If you want prayer for something else too, feel free to come to the front and we would love to pray with you. So refreshments are in the back. We invite you to stay and join us in community. If you didn't have the opportunity to give and you wanted to, got a few more minutes with the baskets up front. That's everything. Have an excellent night.